Psalm 42, beginning with verse 1. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, "Where is your God?" When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that keep a pilgrim feast. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, and from the heights of Hermon, and from the hill Mizar. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. The Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night His song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I will say to God my rock, "Why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say to me all day long, 'Where is your God?' Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God." If I were to pick a theme for this psalm, it would be this: longing for God in the public assembly. Longing for God in the public assembly. And if I had to pick up a key verse that we might think of and remember this psalm, it would be verse 1. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. This psalm, Psalm 42, is the beginning of book 2 of the Psalter. Book 2 of the Psalter is from Psalm 42 to Psalm 72. So there are 30 psalms in this book. There were 41 in the first book and 30 in the second. And again, this idea that there are books compiled in the Psalter reminds us that the Psalter, as we now have it, was collected and arranged and put together in a particular way under the guidance and influence of the Holy Spirit. Robert Godfrey, a man who has put a lot of time and energy into studying the Psalms and has written a book on the Psalms, labels this section of the Psalter the king's commitment to God's kingdom. The king's commitment to God's kingdom. And every one of these Psalms of this book, except one, there is a reference or an allusion to the king and either Jerusalem or the temple. In every one except one, there's a reference to the king and either Jerusalem or the temple. And so we can see here this move to the communal aspect of the Psalter, because that emphasis is not strong in the first book. It's not a major move, but there is one. And this section of the Psalter is a little more communal and corporate in nature. For example, even in this psalm, Psalm 42, that we have before us, we see the psalmist longing and thirsting for God. Yet he is clearly speaking of the public worship of God. He's not talking about private communion with God. He's not talking about private devotion, which he is able to do at this time as he writes this psalm. In verse 2, he says, "My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" Then he says in verse 4, "When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me, for I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. The inspired inscription at the head of this psalm says, if you will notice at the beginning of it, to the chief musician, a contemplation of the sons of Korah. The sons of Korah were a family of Levitical singers that presided over the music of the sanctuary. There were other families as well that descended from Levi, like the Kohathites and others, who also helped with the worship at the tabernacle. But the sons of Korah made up one of those families. And we see that David appointed these families from the tribe of Levi over the service of song in the house of the Lord. In 1 Chronicles 6:31, David did this after the ark came to rest in the tabernacle. Now, although our English translations say, of the sons of Korah, giving the impression that the sons of Korah, one of the sons of Korah, wrote this psalm, the word of in Hebrew could also be translated as to or for the sons of Korah. So it is quite possible that the sons of Korah did not write this psalm, but were rather given the words of this psalm to put or to set to music. And it is the opinion of a number of commentators that this was indeed a psalm of David that he later gave to the sons of Korah to set to music, even though David's name is not mentioned at the beginning. Now, there is good reason to think that Psalms 42 and 43 originally went together. The flow of both of these psalms is very similar. And then you can also see the repetition of the same refrain in Psalm 42 and in Psalm 43. If you look in Psalm 42 and verse 5, he says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God," etc. Then at verse 11 of Psalm 42, the last verse, he says essentially the same thing. And then in Psalm 43, in verse 5, he says the same thing again. And in addition, Psalm 43 is very short, which would suggest that perhaps these two psalms were originally written as one song. But they are distinctly two in the Psalter, for in the Hebrew text, these are two distinct psalms. Now, as a whole, this is a psalm of lament. The psalmist is downcast over the fact that he is away from the place where the corporate and public worship of God takes place, which was probably at the tabernacle. In verses 1 through 3, we see the psalmist, as he pours out his soul unto the Lord, he thirsts for God. He wants to appear before God. Tears have continually been his food day and night. And there are those around him taunting him, jeering at him, because he is not able to do this, saying, "Where is your God?" In verse 4, the psalmist reminisces about the past, when he used to go up with a multitude of God's people to the house of God. As you may recall, there were especially three times in the year when all of God's people were to keep the feast unto the Lord in Jerusalem. We read in Exodus 23:14, God saying to his people, "Three times you shall keep a feast to me in the year." There was the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Harvest, and the Feast of Ingathering. At these times, there would be multitudes of people traveling together, going up to the house of the Lord, singing praises on their way. He says in verse 4, "For I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept the pilgrim feast." And it is this reflection of what he used to know and experience with God's people that is in large measure the impetus for this psalm, seeing that at this time, for whatever reason, he was kept from going to the house of the Lord. And then again in verse 5, we have that refrain which I mentioned earlier, "Why are you cast down, O my soul," etc. We see the psalmist wrestling with himself and with God in prayer. with regard to the conflict that resides in his soul. He does not understand why God is keeping him from the house of the Lord when all he wants to do is go there and worship with God's people so badly. But in the midst of this conflict, he stirs himself up to a greater confidence and hope in God, and he reassures himself of God's faithfulness, for he will once again be able to appear before God. In verses 6 through 10, the psalmist does not allow the fact that he is not able to go to the house of the Lord at this time to keep him from worshiping God. He will yet remember the Lord from the land where he is currently in exile, the land of the Jordan, from the heights of Hermon, and from the hill Mizar. The place that is described here is at the northern end of the land of Palestine, north of the Sea of Galilee, on the east side a little bit of the Jordan. This is roughly where the Jordan River began. And the heights of Hermon, in fact, lined the northeastern border of Israel and were very tall. So the psalmist is in exile there. He's there away from the Jerusalem and not able to go back. The hill Mizar is an unknown hill today, but it was most likely a particular name for a very small hill. Mizar in Hebrew means little or small hill. And this is where the psalmist is stationed. It is possible that this psalm was written by David at the time when he was on the run from his son Absalom. David, as a consequence of his sin, experienced a kind of exile for a while from Jerusalem. And we know that David had gone to the other side of the Jordan when he fled from Absalom in 2 Samuel 17:24. Now, by way of just brief application, let me say that this is a wonderful psalm to sing at really any time that your soul is downcast. Let this psalm remind you of the vital place that the corporate and public worship of God has in the life of a believer. Even though the psalmist was hearing the reproach of his enemies, "Where is your God now?" and was in exile from his own home, yet the burden of his heart was to worship God, to appear before God. And this should always be the burden of our hearts as well. But I would also remind you that this psalm reaches forward to our longing for the heavenly sanctuary. Yes, we should long to worship with God's people corporately and publicly here on earth, but there is a sense in which we are all in exile in this life. We are away from the heavenly Jerusalem. We are viewing the work of Christ seated at the right hand of the Father from a distance. We are pilgrims in a strange land. And we should long to appear before God in the heavenly Jerusalem, in the heavenly sanctuary. In conclusion, let us see how this desire to be among God's people in public worship even reaches forward to the life and ministry of Christ. Christ loved to worship with God's people. In Hebrews 2:12, it is said of Christ, "I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you." And in Luke 22:15, we hear Jesus say to his disciples, "With fervent desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you." The Passover took place during the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which was one of those pilgrim feasts. But even more than that, Jesus' desire to appear before God and worship with God's people on earth was his longing to appear before God as he had done so before his incarnation. He had always beheld the face of his Father throughout all of eternity. And in his humanity, he had, in a sense, experienced exile from that tabernacle made without hands in the heavenlies. And he longed to return to that glory as the God-man and to be among the people, his people, in that heavenly sanctuary one day. As he prayed in John 17:24, "Father, I desire that you also, that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me. Therefore, as we sing this song, let us long to appear before God here on earth in the public assembly. But let us also long to appear before God with the church triumphant in the heavenly Jerusalem, where we will live one day forevermore. Well, with those thoughts in mind, let us take up our book of Psalms for worship, our blue psalters, and turn to Psalm 42,